some people are on the overheated side, huh? See, we have both.
That first song, Burn, Oh My Soul. I was trying to be metaphorical, but...
Did it hurt? Came.
The fire fell.
Oh God, I just burned myself. I didn't burn that place.
It's just a
finger song.
No,
it's my kick. It's the kick was printing on it. Black printing. I don't know what they're thinking. Black printing on a kick. It's just burning.
That's all they're thinking.
I know. But it gets all over your fingers.
I did not wet my pants. That's
well, that confirms the dribble.
You hear it?
It's alcohol stuff, so it should dry pretty quick.
Okay, okay.
So, what did we talk about last night? Remember, I said there was going to be a test.
Rest! Yes! Rest.
So we're in our acronym for REST, right? Radical Essence of Spiritual Transformation.
So where did we get to last night? We were talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, right? Obadiah 21 and Matthew 17, right?
Yeah.
So we got through the Feast of Trumpets, didn't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Call to repent, call to come up higher. Then we got to Obadiah 21, saviors shall come up on Mount Zion. And then Matthew 17, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain. Right. So it's all the same picture.
Right.
So we got level or tier number one, didn't we? We got the first part. Let's knock out the second and third part this morning. Can we do that?
Yeah.
It won't take too long. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to talk about the Day of Atonement. Because, see, I believe this is just, it's all a spiritual picture of spiritual transformation.
Now, I think it's too cold.
That door will just make it heat up more.
Oh, it will?
Sure. It's going to make it worse. Because your thermostat is right there.
If you
want to cool down, open the other door over there. It'll be fine.
By you.
Oh, by me, yes.
Yes.
I like that idea.
And it won't hit the thermostat.
Oh, okay, I get you. So this door?
We've learned that the hard way, yes.
Ah. Oh, there we go.
See?
I'm going to go in here and preach.
No,
I'm just
go ahead.
I'm just kidding.
So second thing, what was the Day of Atonement all about? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7 and 8, and then verse 11 and 12 also. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself for the heirs of the people, the Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was standing. So, and then go up to verse 11 and 12. We've got to get that. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So, what was the Day of Atonement about?
Jesus.
It was about the taking away of sin, right? It's about the taking away of sin. And we know that Jesus went into that. It's a picture of what the high priest did once every year. So he took, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but he took his own blood and he took away sin. Now, go to, let's find it here, Hebrews 9:28. Because see, there's something we need to address when it comes to the taking away of sin. Hebrews 9:28. I like the way that Amplified Bible says. It says, Christ will appear a second time, not carrying any burden of sin, nor to deal with sin, but to bring to full salvation those who are expecting Him.
Amen.
So Christ will appear a second time. Now, where is Christ appearing now? Yes. So Christ will appear a second time, not to deal with sin. So what is His appearing in us all about? Well, it's not to deal with sin, is it?
No.
That's what it says.
To manifest Himself to the world.
Yes! Not carrying any burden of sin, nor to deal with sin, but to bring to full salvation those who are expecting. Why is that? Because sin was already dealt with at the cross. Mm-hmm. And see, most of Christianity thinks that Christ in them, the reason that Christ lives in them, is to deal with sin. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case. It's a done deal. And it's just the renewing of the mind. Because sin was already dealt with. And not only the sins I've committed, past, present, future, but the sin nature was taken care of.
Amen.
So His appearing in us has nothing to do with sin. Zero zilch. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with sin. Because it is already taken care of on the cross. Well, then why am I always dealing with all this stuff? Because we have a mind that is in the process of being renewed. To the fact that the work is already finished. See, the only thing that I struggle with is a bad memory. It is. It's a bad memory. A memory of Adam. Well, actually, it's a memory that works too good. It's a memory that works too good, but it calls up a bad memory. See, that's it. It's like muscle memory. Y'all, have you ever heard of muscle memory?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kelly and I took, my wife and I took dance lessons. And it was kind of interesting because we had this thing where they were going to teach us, for some reason, and I don't know why this, I mean, they tried to teach us about 6 dances. Well, you know, when you're middle-aged, it's like, if you can remember the steps of one dance, it's like, why didn't they just try and teach us one thing? Teach us how to waltz, you know? And maybe we could remember that, because then we'd get home and it was like, now what do we do, you know?
Yeah.
But they kept saying, all you got to just do it over and over and your body will develop muscle memory. Well, my body never really developed any muscle memory because I just couldn't remember the stupid steps. So we decided next time we do it, we're going to say, okay, teach us one dance. Let us practice that over and over. So, but that's the thing. It's a memory thing. Hebrews 10:22. Let us all come forward and draw near with true hearts, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the Feast of Atonement. The Feast of Atonement is basically the spiritual fulfillment of it is getting it through my head that I got to ditch this guilty, evil conscience. See, religion told me that having a guilty, evil conscience was a good thing. I mean, I was born and raised where, and you know, I want to be careful as I say this, but you know, I walked into church and there it was, right? It was wood carved, that's what it was. And it was all over the front, and it was mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa. I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not. And that's what you were supposed to do when you walked into church, you saw it, mea culpa. And you know, well, No, we're not worthy, but that doesn't matter because it's not about us and our worthiness anyway. You know, and that's what religion teaches us to do, is that guilty, evil conscience is a good thing, but it's not a good thing. See, we will never really be able to draw near, you know, in an intimate relationship with Him unless our hearts are sprinkled from a guilty, evil conscience. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. Or back up, actually. See, the law could not make people perfect. Otherwise, the sacrifices would have stopped. You know, Hebrews 10, 2. Since the worshipers had once for all been cleansed, they would no longer have any guilt or consciousness of sin. So, if we have once and for all been cleansed, then we will no longer have sin consciousness, because if you go to verse 14, it says, "For by a single offering he has forever completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy." So we have been cleansed, past tense. We have been consecrated. We have been made holy. That's all past tense. And see, that's part of this Day of Atonement, coming into the understanding of the Day of Atonement, which is all part of us moving into spiritual transformation. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Am I making sense this morning? Okay. The sin consciousness is really, and I know I've talked about this before, but it behooves us to look at it. Sin consciousness is really Antichrist. That's what it is. It is Antichrist. It is the substitute for Christlikeness. Isn't it? But that's really what religion teaches us, is repentance, it's a good thing. There are some, I know a few people that it would probably do them some good to acknowledge that they have sin and deal with it. But for those of us who have, it's like we cannot stay there. We can't stay there. We got to come out of that sin conscious mentality. And that's all part of the Day of Atonement. Let me look here. James 1, 21 through 25. James 21. It says, "The engrafted living word, that's Christ who is in us, has the power to bring our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, to full salvation." You know, if... somebody read that. James 1, 21 through 25. Who's got that? Yes, read it.
So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which, implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself, and then he goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in all his doing, his life of obedience.
So, we are to look, James says, we're looking, beholding as in a mirror, and it's like we see the man, and then we walk away and forget what manner of man we saw. But what the question is, what who are we really seeing in the mirror? I mean, that's the question. In fact, the prophet Michael Jackson talked about the song "Man in the Mirror."
Yep. Yeah.
Who do we see in the mirror? I'm kidding. So, but that's what he talked about, the man in the mirror. Who do we see in the mirror? It says, beholding the natural face.
Well, that word natural, we know in the Greek, is actually Genesis, beholding the Genesis face. What is the Genesis face? The Genesis face is, let us make man in our image. Amen. And in our likeness. But see, religion has taught us we're to look in the mirror, see what rotten sinners we are, and yada yada. But that's not what this means. We are to be hearers of the Word. And the Word is not you're a dirty, rotten sinner. The Word is you. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, that sin consciousness will deter us from ever really reaching our destiny and our spiritual transformation. So let's
keep going with this thought. So we are to be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word of Righteousness. You know, it's like the Word of Righteousness. It's like, what's that scripture? Something about the Holy Spirit who convicts of sin and righteousness. What is that? Where's that scripture?
Righteousness in John 6, I believe.
Yeah, somebody look that up. Is this okay? Are we?
Oh, yeah.
Are we okay?
Okay.
All right. I mean, we can go somewhere else if you want. We may not literally go somewhere, but we can.
Yeah, just do what you're doing.
Okay. Do you find that, Ron? While you're looking that up, I'm going to read another scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And all of us, unveiled face, continue to behold the Word of God as in a mirror. The glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured. There's that word. That's what we're talking about, transfiguration, metamorpho, being changed, spiritual transformation. Beholding the Word of God is in a mirror. The glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured into His very own image. So that's the picture. Did you find that? You didn't? Okay.
We can come back to it later. It's all right.
So that's Day of Atonement is really about... not only putting away of and dealing with sins committed, but Christ dealt with the sin nature on the cross. And the place that sin really needs to be dealt with is in my brain. Appropriating the work that is already finished. Does that make sense? Yeah. So let's keep going here. Go to Obadiah 21. Obadiah 21. Saviors shall come up on Mount Zion. We talked about that last night. But what? To judge the Mount of Esau. To judge the Mount of Esau. That word judge in the Hebrew is shafat. It means to pronounce sentence. Esau in Hebrew is Esav, and it means rough. Rough. Go to Genesis 25:25, and the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. Esau. So Esau is rough, and Esau is red, right? He's rough, and he's red. Genesis 25:30-31. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. Esau's got this thing for red, doesn't he? Yeah, he said, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore, his name was called Edom. So was he Esau or was he Edom? Yes, he was. He was Esau, and therefore his name is called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. So Esau is Edom. Esau is rough and red. You know what Adam means? Adam means red or ruddy. So Esau, Edom, Adam, it all points to the same thing. And that is the Adamic nature that sold the birthright. The Adamic nature that sold the birthright. Now, here is the question. Who did he sell the birthright to? Oh, he sold it to the devil. No, he didn't. Nothing ever got sold to the devil. The only thing that happened to the devil was God said, you shall, what? Eat dust, crawl on your belly,
for the rest
And what was the rest of it? Thou shalt bruise his heel, he shall crush your head, yada, yada, yada. So, no birthright was ever given to the devil. No spiritual authority has ever been given to the devil. The devil has no authority except the authority that we give him. The prince of the power of the air that operates in, that works in children of disobedience. The only place he can work is in our disobedience. And when you study out that word disobedience, it really means unbelief, disbelief. So, who was the birthright sold to?
Jacob Israel.
See, really the birthright was just sold to the sin nature, the self nature. You know? Because that's what the whole thing in the garden was all about. You shall be as gods. Well, they were already like God. So the real temptation was that they should be an expression of life other than the life of God, which is the self-life. Did you find that scripture?
Yeah.
Ah.
It's John 16:8.
Read.
And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Ah. Yeah. And see, religion always stops at that first one. The Holy Spirit reproves the world. Word for world there is cosmos in the Greek. Cosmos, when you study it out, it's basically all that originates from carnality. The Holy Spirit reproves the cosmos, which is in me. He reproves my cosmos, my carnality of sin. But see, it doesn't stop there. And then convicts us of
righteousness.
And of judgment. Oh, and now we're back to the negative. No, we're not. See, the judgment for you and I is a good thing. Yeah, because he judges us righteous. He does not judge us unrighteous, because that happened at the cross. See, that's all part of Day of Atonement. So
to judge the Mount of Esau. See, God needs a people who have not sold the birthright. Saviors, basically, who ascend to Zion and basically pronounce sentence, judge the mount of Adamic carnality. In other words, we look at this mountain of our own carnality and we think, oh my gosh, this is a mountain too big for me. Well, yes, it is a mountain too big for me, but it wasn't too big for him. Amen. He already took care. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become as a molehill, a plain. And see, that's the thing is Saviors come up to Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. There, we have to pronounce judgment on this idea that the sin nature is anything but defeated. Does that make sense? And see, that's all part of spiritual transformation. It's not our spirit really being transformed, it's the mind, the will, and the emotions. It's the soul realm. So, now let's look at Matthew 17. So we say that after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John into a high mountain and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as light. So the face speaks of what? Face speaks of the countenance or the nature of a thing, right? 2 Corinthians 3:4, and all of us with unveiled face continue to behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. Go to Ephesians 5:8. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What happened with Jesus? He gets up on the mount and he is transfigured. He's transfigured. And his face, his countenance, his nature shines. To me that sounds like Isaiah 6, is it 60 or 61?
Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
Let's keep going with this. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:5? But you are all children of light, children of the day. Okay. And while we're on this subject, I probably said this before, but what really happened day one when God created the heavens and the earth and he said, light be? Was that day one? Yeah. Well, we know it wasn't the sun, moon, and the stars. It wasn't natural light, because that wasn't until day four, three or four, of course, something like that. Yeah. So when God said, light be, what happened? But what was that light? Well, if we are children of
light, was the light.
But something else was created. See, when he spoke it, something was created.
Okay.
He was light, yes, but he was already in existence. Yeah. So something was created. Well, what was it that was created? I believe it was us.
Yeah.
If we are children of light, you know, something had to come into being. So God said, light being suddenly Pete pops into existence. Yeah?
I knew you before you were born.
I knew you before you were born. Something had to happen. So,
that's my take. If we're children of light, didn't Jesus say something about ye are the light of the world?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, how about 2 Peter 1:19? We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Well, what's the heart? The heart is the mind, the will, and the emotions. It's the soul. Until the day star arise in my heart. It's basically God just opening up the fact of what has already been done. Are we good? Okay. Let's see here. Romans 6:6. We know that our old self was, past tense, nailed to the cross with him. Psalm 8, verse 5, Adam was crowned. That word crowned, it's atar in Hebrew, and it means clothed or encircled. He was enveloped. Psalm 8, 5, Adam was enveloped with the glory of God. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast crowned him with glory. That word crowned. So he's enveloped with glory. Adam was... God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. His clothing befit his nature at that point. Because he was crowned, he was encircled, he was enveloped with the glory of God. When he chose to operate in the lower nature, the beast nature, then, he said, heck, I'm naked. God brought him new clothing to befit his nature that he now chose to operate in, which was the skins of a beast. So now his new clothing befit his old, or his new nature. But God sent in his own son in the likeness of sinful man. So now we got new clothes again. I love getting new clothes. In fact, my family recently just made me go shopping because I had reached a fashion plateau.
And it came to a head. My wife and I got free tickets to go see Kenny G.
Oh,
yeah. Y'all know Kenny G?
Oh, yeah.
I've played the saxophone for years, and I've always been a Kenny G wannabe, So we got free tickets to go see Kenny G. So I am so excited. And I go in my closet, and I'm looking at my closet thinking, oh, my God, I have nothing to wear to this because it's a nice event, And I'm just so at any rate, I had this fashion meltdown there in my closet, and I think it was like 2 days later I went out and went to the, we've got a, it's a Dillard's Outlet Mall. So it's like really good stuff, but really dirt cheap prices. So I went and I think I spent $100. Now for me that's a lot. So I spent $100. I got like, I don't know, 5 shirts, a couple of pullovers, some jeans, and I got a whole bunch of new clothes. So yes, yes. Why did I get off on that tangent? Clothing. We're talking about clothing, aren't we? Yeah, and to put on the new nature. Oh, Ephesians 4:24. Oh, we were talking about Adam and his clothing. That's how we got off on that. Okay, all right. So it's time for most of us, it's time for a spiritual what not to wear. Anybody watch that show? What Not to Wear? Mm-hmm. On TLC? You watch it? Pete watches it, I know. It's his favorite show. Most of you have no idea what I'm talking about. At any rate, so. Okay. So a spiritual what not to wear. Ephesians 4:24, put on the new nature. Okay, so we've gotten through the first level, which was Feast of Trumpets. Savior shall come up in Mount Zion. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John into a high mountain apart. We've gotten through the second part, Feast of Atonement, Judge the Mount of Esau, and being transfigured. And I love that thing I read last night about imaginal cells. That is so cool. Yeah. Now, let's get to the third part, and then we will stop this thing. We're going to talk about tabernacles. What was the main thing with the Feast of Tabernacles? Is they came out of their ordinary everyday life to dwell in booths. Go to Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8, verse 14 and 15. Children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. They should publish, proclaim in all their cities in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount. Oh, here we go. We're still on that same idea. Go forth unto the mount, fetch olive branches, pine branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. The major emphasis there is dwelling place. So, what is the idea here? As we come out of ordinary everyday life, He is the dwelling place, yeah. Right? To dwell in Him. John 14:2-4. Go to John 14:2-4. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Right? And we all know that Jesus was a carpenter in the natural, so that meant He was going to die and go to heaven and build a spiritual house, a spiritual mansion for us, right? Isn't that what we've been taught? Now, in this whole passage, John 14 thing, there's nothing, not one word about heaven in it. It says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you where? Into heaven? No, and to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. See, we always leave that part out too, don't we? Well, if he's talking about going to heaven, did the disciples know the way to heaven? No, they didn't. No. He said, you know where I'm going, and you know how to get there. Well, the obvious place he was going was to the cross. And they knew exactly where it was because it was right outside the city. So, I'm going to go prepare a place. What was the place? He was the place. And he said, I'll receive you unto myself. So he goes to the cross, and the cross was the preparation for the place. The place is Him, that I might receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Well, where was He? See, the cross is really, it's the dwelling place of God and man, where we dwell together. And that is in the crucified life of Jesus Christ. Crucified, dead, buried, ascended, resurrected, yada, yada. So that's this place that we're talking about there. That I may receive you unto myself, that where I am you may be also. And see that, I like the way he says that.
Because he says that where I am, and where was he? I mean, he was standing in front of them, obviously. But he was obviously somewhere else also. And that's the idea for us too, is heaven is not this place I go to. Okay? Heaven is this place that I am, that I live. You know, heaven on earth, so to speak. So, that makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all are quiet this morning. Are you okay?
We're listening.
Oh, okay. All right. Philippians 3:9, that I may actually be found and known as in him. In him. That's the booth. That's the dwelling place. Revelation 21, 2 and 3. Revelation 21, 2 and 3. I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard the great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Friend, that is not a future event. That is a past event. That is what happened. It is past. Okay? The tabernacle of God is now with men, and he dwells with us now. This is not future. This is a present reality of the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known riches the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Okay. John 7:10. But when his brethren were gone up, he went also up to the feast. What feast is he going to? Feast of Tabernacles. He went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were, in secret. And it's the same deal with us. The Feast of Tabernacles is not this big display of power and glory and yada yada that everybody's looking for, an end time event. No, the Feast of Tabernacles is Christ going up to the feast, not openly, but as it were, in secret. Christ in us, the hope of glory, just is the day star arising just in everyday people. It's not a big splashy event. Now, there does come a time when it becomes a splash, but we ain't there yet. So, now let's go back to Obadiah. Obadiah, third part of Obadiah is, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The kingdom shall be the Lord's. Luke 17:20-21. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. Hello? People are looking for a big splash of the kingdom, same as in Jesus' day. Will thou at this time restore the kingdom? He's like, yeah, but it ain't going to be like you think it is. Kingdom of God comes not with observation. Neither shall he say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Matthew 16:19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. And basically, what we've discovered is we bind, and that word bind is not this is not used in the same context as binding the strong man. You know, because there's an element where it talks about binding the strong man. That's not what this is. This word bind is dea, and it's a legal term. It means to make legally binding. So we make binding, legally binding in the earth, basically who we are in the earth, via our lifestyle and our spoken declaration. So we bind in the earth who we are in the earth. So what are we to bind in the earth? How about Habakkuk? Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's all part of spiritual transformation, is we bind in the earth that the earth is being filled with the glory of the Lord. How's the earth filled with the glory of the Lord? Well, the glory of the Lord rises in Ron. The day star arises in all of us. See, and that's the earth being filled. Makes sense? So we bind in the earth who we are in the earth, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The kingdoms of this world, kingdoms of this cosmos, are become. That wording, are become, it's awkward in the English, but it's the closest thing to this, the way the verb is. It's a present participle, I forget, but it's something that has begun, something that is continuing, and something that will consummate. So it's like a movie.
Present continuous.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's like a movie. It's not like a snapshot. A snapshot captures one little moment. But this is more like a Super 8.
Super 8.
Anybody remember? So this is like a movie. It's a process. It's in process.
So every now and then I like to just throw out an old paradigm, just so you know. It's like I used to talk about get your spiritual antenna up. And one day I realized, you know, these young folks at our church, they don't know what an antenna is. It's Bluetooth. Turn on your Bluetooth. So, okay, let's see. So we got through tabernacles. The kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now we got to get to overshadowed. Yeah, we got to get to that. Matthew 17, we're back there. And a bright cloud overshadowed them. Ah! And then when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Ooh, this bright cloud overshadows them. Okay? What is the overshadowing? The overshadowing is basically, it's described right there. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man. Overshadowed. When we're overshadowed, people don't see the man. They just see Christ in us. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 19. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And what's the ministry of reconciliation? Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Yeah, that's the thing we got to work on, isn't it? We're too used to imputing trespasses, and oftentimes the word we speak is not a Yes, say that again.
Reconciliatory.
Yes. The only thing I'm picking up in the middle there is silly, so. Okay. So, basically, we've got the three parts here are trumpets, saviors come up on Mount Zion, Jesus took them into a high mountain. That's all first level. Second level, atonement, judge the Mount of Esau,
yeah.
Transfigured.
Yeah.
Third level, tabernacles, kingdom shall be the Lord's, and overshadowed. And the basic, where we want to end up is, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And that is really what we are after in spiritual transformation, is that when they lift up their eyes, they see not man,
yeah,
they see Jesus only. Yeah. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. Now, surely somebody has a question. Yes. Okay, good. Bubble up.
Raise it up.
Yes, Pete's going to be glad to answer something.
When you say reconciliation, that's yes. Like, to me, it's like a twofold. You get reconciled with Christ, and then we are supposed to bring that reconciliation to others through the word of God, to Christ. Is that what you were saying?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And the other one, I have to say, I'm glad you cleared this up. So I've heard a lot of people say, whatever we find on earth shall be loosed in heaven, da, da, da. But something never seemed quite right to me. I couldn't make the connection of what the quite rightness wasn't, but I knew something was not quite right. So when you said that when you bind on earth, that means you make like a legal
binding.
Yeah. With the Lord.
Yeah.
So when you hear people saying, I hate to say this, but when you hear people saying that they bind the devil, it's like they're getting in legal contract with him. So they're really saying the wrong thing, right?
Sort of, yeah. I mean,
I'm sure their intention is good.
I know their intention is good, but they don't realize that.
I didn't think we had the authority to bind the devil. I thought I thought Christ already did that.
That's already done.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people say that, but I couldn't.
Binding and loosing. There's a book I think Kim has.
You know what I mean?
Kim? There's a book on binding and loosing. That
you binding the strong man.
Years ago.
Well, see, the strong man, people
it's different.
The strong man that it's talking about there is not the devil.
No.
Strong man is the carnal mind.
The way you're thinking.
How a lot of people are trying to bind the devil, not realizing that that whole thing is not, it's taken out of context.
Yeah, it really is. Because see, Colossians 2, where is it, Ron? Look at Colossians 2, talks about, where is it? Colossians 2 talks about he came to destroy the works of the
destroy the works of the devil.
Yeah, where is that? Where is that? You see, that's something that has already been done.
I know, because I hear them say, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I'm like,
well, that's what they would talk.
Yeah.
You understand? And there's a lot of religious churches teaching that.
People, that's okay, because the Lord's bringing you into the light with that whole binding and loosing thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Pointed in Colossians 2.
It's not Colossians 2:15?
And having
disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And spoiled
principalities. They're done with it.
Which brings us back to where we were with Jezebel, which unless you're instructed by the Lord to bind that a spirit, I think that you say the Lord rebuke you.
Amen.
That you don't take that upon yourself.
That what God taught me was Moses, God taught me to say, the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked me.
Perfect.
There you go.
Rather than me say, connect with what was going on. I didn't know why I couldn't connect, but I know now why I couldn't connect.
Good.
Sometimes you know by the Spirit that something's wrong, but you don't know.
You can feel it on the inside. You can feel it on the inside. Something is off center.
Yeah. So that's what. So now the clarity has come when you find something on earth. That means you're making a legal declaration with the Lord. Yeah. You're in agreement with what's going on in heaven. Right?
And
right?
See, we can bind carnality in the earth if we act that way. If we act in carnality, then that's really what we're bringing and legally binding in the earth is carnality. But back to what you were saying, interesting observation. One of the churches that I was at over in France, there was a young lady there that had quite a history with the demonic and stuff like that. And it was interesting because I could see. During the worship and stuff like that, that's the spirit. She was in the process of deliverance. In other words, her will was set that she really wanted to come to the Lord, but it was in process. In other words, when they first started working with her, I mean, she was like violently demonic. But her will was set towards God. But it is interesting because people would go to pray for her, and that spirit wanted to engage people.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Lots of demonstrations.
Oh, yeah. It wanted to engage. And anybody that would go pray for her and get into this this kind of a, I bind you, devil, man, that thing would just act up like that.
Love it.
And it was just like, give me attention.
It is. It's empowering. Empowering.
So I'd go back there and I just put my hand on her and just I could feel glory.
Pouring
that
out.
Thing, it would just, she would just begin to kind of melt. and there, but But sure enough, if somebody would go pray and get into that mode, then that thing, then it would just start acting up and manifesting.
It's like
it was
just fighting with itself.
They love the confrontation.
Yeah, and that's it. It wanted to engage.
Exactly.
It was looking.
It wants the attention.
She doesn't get the deliverance.
Yeah, that's right.
It was looking for a fight.
But that spirit still gets the attention.
Right.
Well, that's it. And it was looking for a fight. Just looking for somebody to engage it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'd go back there and just lay my hand on her and just feel. And it was like, and she would just melt, and pretty soon it would just get so intense, you know, that she'd kind of like have to, it's almost like she'd have to get away for a minute, you know? But I just saw it over the whole weekend, because invariably, you know, people would go back with the, you know, that thing going on, and it was
well,
like,
there's also such a thing as familiar spirits that will help each other, even in a church relationship. And you can see the two literally join forces to keep you off base.
Yeah.
Because you're actually not operating in obedience to the Lord, you're operating into obedience of your self, and maybe your desire to deliver them. Because, you know, it's, again, I think a lot of times there's a lot of this that's been taught.
Yeah, it has.
And you can't blame anybody. That's not going to help.
No.
What you can do is allow your light to go a little brighter. and then when the Holy Spirit gives you an open door, like your brother was just telling you there, operate under the anointing and do what he tells you to do.
Now, I'm not saying there is never a place for confrontation.
Exactly.
Because there are people that are in the world that are, have demonic oppression, possession, those things. So there is still a place for casting out demons and that kind of thing.
But that's that's not what he was teaching on.
The Spirit will let you know when it's time.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And that's it. Because there, I've had encounters where it was a definite confrontation of light and dark, and then you had to. It was like you come out,
right? Exactly.
You know.
Well, Jesus did that.
Yeah.
He commanded on the whole.
But that wasn't his focus.
Right. Exactly.
It wasn't his focus. His focus was to obey the Papa.
Right.
And that's what you're describing.
So what other questions? What other thoughts? Judy.
So where are you going for lunch today, Doug?
There we go.
I can come back with them every time.
Yes.
Oh, I just want to inquire about your e-books.
Non-existent e-books.
Good word. Good word. Good question.
My e-books that I need to get on the stick, get off my blessed assurance, and get something done.
Well, now you know how to pray.
Yes.
Yeah.
See? Ask the Lord what you have to do.
No, I do need to get this thing taken care of. And God kind of brought it up just this last week. Some lady on Facebook must have been digging through old archives and stuff. Found a whole bunch of my stuff, started posting it. I'm reading it thinking, wow, that's good. I need to get that out there.
The Lord really used you for me.
Yeah.
For that one book, Power of the Everlasting Life. And I just know that it's going to reach a lot of people that walk that same walk I walk.
Yeah.
And I really feel like, and I would love to say, it's the Lord, but I really know that got to get them books out. It really is critical.
So you know what we'll do? We'll twist his arm a little.
Yeah, that's
right?
What I'm
that's
trying
godly,
to do.
Right?
That's what I'm trying to do.
So are you friends with him on Facebook? You could twist
I don't
that
use
one.
Facebook. I don't need the drama in my life. I have enough drama.
You want a lot of his stuff, you go to Identity Network. There's an awful lot of it there.
Oh, yeah, Jeremy has a bunch of my stuff.
I stumbled into that when I got on
that one. I can't
just tap your name in a way, though. Wow.
Jerry?
Well, I wasn't going to change the order of things, but since my brother did, have you ever prayerfully considered offering transcripts of your teachings?
Transcripts?
Written out. You know, some people, like
most everything that I teach is either in a book already or going to be in the next book.
Okay.
So most of the stuff.
Can you tell me where what book this is in?
This will be in the next
one. In the next one.
We're just going to get that on the
stage. We've got the preview.
We'll get that on the